Good morning. I stand before you today as a recipient of God's grace and goodness. He has protected me and kept me thus far. And in fact, I don't know all the depths to which God has blessed me, but it is a joy each day to arise and find new ways that He has. Maybe you know a little bit about what that feels like. But I am very grateful to the elders and the leadership of this congregation to invite me to come and to be a part of this spiritual family. And what an exciting time it is to be a part of the Livingston Church. To know that you've added a new shepherd to your shepherds. To know that there are more deacons who are stepping up as leaders and servants in the congregation. To see the excitement about the vision of bringing the gospel to new people and places in the community and even abroad. And to be able to play a small part of that as a located evangelist here, I am humbled. And it is my privilege to stand before you at this time and to share with you a study in the Word of God. I'm so appreciative to Brother Tim for leading us in prayer, and Brother Matt leading these songs of praise, Brother Andrew in reminding us about the Lord's atoning sacrifice as we remembered His death by observing His body and His blood and the bread and the cup. And now we can be together and study God's Word at this time. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Perhaps in a special way, we are all today thankful for our mothers. And this is a day that our society has set aside to say, let's be grateful for our mothers. And that's a good thing. I know that every good gift comes from the hand of God, and that includes our mothers. And frequently, Mother's Day is celebrated by flowers and cards and presents, even attending church with Mother. And it might be that you've come to worship here today because this is the church home for your mother. And if you're here visiting, we're so glad that you're here. And if you'll take just a minute to fill out one of those connection cards in the program, that's going to allow us to get to know you, to serve you in any way that we can. And there's also information there about your next step in a relationship with God. And so if you're a guest here, please do take a moment and fill that out. But we're so glad that you're here. We celebrate and we want to honor Mother today and in many ways in our homes. I was traveling around yesterday trying to get the lay of the land a little bit and driving around Tampa some, and I saw in a corner, I think it was the corner of Fowler and Bruce B. Downs, and there was a beautiful little flower stand there. All right. And beautiful bouquets and maybe even more precious than all the bouquets. It was the three young ladies who were selling the flowers, and each of them seemed to be passing around another little baby. And it was like, wow, here's Mother's Day right here. Here's these young ladies with their babies and they're selling the flowers. And I got to looking at that bouquet and I got to thinking, you know, each of those flowers is a precious creation in and of itself. But when you put them together and you make that bouquet, isn't it just an amazing present? And it really makes an impression. Give it to Mother, give it to wife, that beautiful bouquet of flowers. Well, what I want to do for a couple of moments this morning is ask the question, what are some good gifts that the Bible would have us to give Mother? And like that bouquet, each one is important and precious in and of itself. But when we layer them together, when we put them together to give Mother these things through the days and even the years, in the course of years in our relationship, it's a beautiful thing. I'm going to talk to you today about five gifts for Mother. Five gifts for Mother. And in these five gifts for Mother, well, you can still fill in the blanks even if I can't make the pictures work. I am pushing the down button. So maybe somebody will come help me with that. All right. And these five gifts for Mother, each one is going to stand on its own. It's going to be beautiful together as a bouquet. That's why I should have bought the flowers. All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, cool. All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and talk about our five gifts for Mother. And if you haven't gotten your gift from Mother yet, these are some things to keep in mind that you can give her today and indeed every day. These are gifts that will obey the Bible. All right. Gifts that will obey the Bible, bring glory to God, make us more like Jesus, and that's what we all want to be. In Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 1, the scripture says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And the first gift that we can give mother is the gift of obedience. The gift of obedience. Now, every once in a while, I like to do something very unscientific. But just to take a little poll, maybe with a show of hands, how many of you in here, okay, live with your parents? You live with mother and you either go to preschool all the way up through high school. How many of you are living at home with mother and you're in preschool or high school? Raise your hand if that applies to you. Going to school? Oh, look at that. Look at all the hands going up. Look at all the hands going up. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Let me tell you that this first gift is something so important to give mother from the time that you're even little and growing up. And if you just raise your hand, I really want you to listen to me right now. It is important that you be giving mother this gift right now, the gift of obedience. And I'll tell you, it is very, very simple to give mother the gift of obedience. This is how you do it. You obey your parents, you obey your mother by doing what they ask when they ask. Isn't that simple? Doing what they ask, but when they ask. In other words, it's not obedience when you pretend you don't hear them. That's not obedience. And it's not, I'm getting amens already. It's not obedience when you huff and roll your eyes when they ask. And it's not obedience to ignore them. It's not obedience to make them repeat themselves five times. It is not obedience to cause them to yell. These things are not obedience. But we give them a gift of obedience when we respond, when we acknowledge, when we do what they tell us to do, when they ask. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, teaches us to obey God. To obey God. And I'll tell you that obedience is always given with our attitude and with our behavior. With our attitude and with our behavior. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. In Colossians 3 and verse 20. As the Apostle Paul is moved by inspiration to write this in Ephesians 6 and to write this in Colossians chapter 3, he is echoing wisdom given by God many years before. The wise King Solomon in Proverbs 1 and verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." It is smart. It is wise to obey our parents. Our parents have been put in our lives, young people, to teach us about something that we need to learn young and we need to appreciate throughout all of our lives. And that is authority. The idea that this is God's world ultimately and we are living in it. And our parents have been given to us so that we might begin to respect as we honor and obey mother and father. Well, then it starts to make sense why we're going to respect and honor and obey parents. Excuse me, from parents to teachers and principals and bosses and police officers and all the rest. Our parents are there in our lives to teach us how to function and how to obey, to form a society that would honor God. You have the perfect example of Jesus Christ who obeyed his parents. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Then Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Do we want to follow the example of Jesus Christ? I know that we do. And we learn that as we give this gift to mother, this first of five gifts, it is going to please God. When you obey the word of God, it pleases God. So give this gift of obedience. It is going to make us like Jesus. He set the example for us. He was humble and obedient to his parents as he was growing up. And it blesses us. We're going to have wisdom and benefit when we honor, when we obey our parents. Do we give our mothers the obedience that they deserve? That is the first precious flower in a bouquet of five. Here's a second gift from God's word that we can give our mothers. And again, if you raised your hand just a moment ago, I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening close. It's going to mean a lot. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, the scripture says, "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. I want to talk about giving our mother respect. Obedience and respect. Obedience and honor. And I'll tell you that our respect, our honor for mother is given especially with our attitude and with our language. With our attitude and with our language. It's a curious thing, but there are prohibitions, there are warnings in the Old Testament about the way you speak to your parents, about the way you speak to mother. You do not curse your mother. In Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 20, the scripture says, "Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." You do not curse them. I'd love you to think about how you speak to your mother, how you speak to your parents. And what I'm learning is that different parts of the country have different expectations for the right way that you address your parents. And I'm going to learn about how that works here in Florida. But I'll tell you that where I've been for a while now in Middle Tennessee, they're very big on you address your parents, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. So that's how we're going to do it in Florida. I grew up in a little further north in Indiana and even California. Spent some years out in California. That always wasn't the expectation up there. Okay, but it has been. And we're trying to raise our kids that way. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. These are polite and proper ways to address our parents. But whether that is required in your home or not, everyone can recognize there are respectful tones of voice and there are disrespectful. There is proper language, and then there's back talk, and snide remarks, and being a smart aleck, or screaming your head off and shutting doors, slamming doors. That's not the gift of respect. That's not the gift of respect. And I'll tell you what is a terrible disrespect to parents, and maybe we try to get away with this a little bit when we're tiny, and then we really are working to get away with this some when we get driver's license, but to be dishonest to our parents, to even try to lie to our parents, is very disrespectful. We give proper attitude and language to our mother. We honor and respect them when we don't curse them, when they speak properly to them, and when we are honest with them. When we're honest with them about where we're going and what we're doing. And who we're spending our time with. When we are honest with them about what's going on in our lives, this is just respectful towards mother and respectful towards father. And it means a lot. Sometimes we are afraid maybe a little bit to come clean with mom and dad. We think she doesn't know. But she does. There's eyes in the back of the head. You don't know that because their hair's kind of long. But it's there. And a lot of times we think we're getting away for something. And mom and dad, they already kind of have their suspicion. They're already wondering. And it becomes a real issue of respect. Well, I respect them to be honest with them. And if I have been dishonest with them, I have been disrespectful and I need to apologize. I need to say I'm sorry. I need to ask for forgiveness and rebuild trust with my parents and with my mother. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning because mothers forgive. Next to our gracious God Almighty, I don't think there is a more forgiving creature than a mother. And there was a French author, he wrote to that effect, I put it in the notes, quote, "The heart of a mother is a deep abyss at the bottom of which you will always find forgiveness." Do we give our mothers the respect they deserve? I tell you, it's a precious gift. We give them not just on Mother's Day, but every day and through the years. We give them obedience. We give them respect. I want to give you a third one here as we build this bouquet of wonderful gifts from God's word that we can give our mothers. To give your mother affection. Give her affection. Victor Hugo wrote, "A mother's arms are made of tenderness, and children sleep soundly in them." The wise man in Proverbs 31, as Brother Tim read for us this morning, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." Kind words, compliments. I'm using the word affection. And they give so much affection to their children. How do we respond? They give us hugs and kisses, attention and compliments, encouragement. They give us so much. And I want to tell you who needs to be the first one to step up and to give this gift to mother. And it is father. It's the husbands. It's the dads. It is so important, men, that we model affection for our children. The way that you speak to your wife and the way you treat your wife, you understand that that's your child's mother. And for that little boy, you are setting the standard and the example. This is the proper way that you treat a woman. And this is how you ought to be treating your girlfriend. And this is how you ought to treat a future spouse. This is the expectation. So how do you speak to your wife? And are you kind to her? I've seen men speak to their wives in ways that, well, I'll tell you what, they never talk to another man that way. Because another man had knocked their block off. But it's uncanny. And they want to speak to a brother in Christ that way. Because a brother in Christ would say, you've sinned against me. You need to repent. They talk to the wife that way. That's a shame. It's a sin. And it's setting an example. And I'll tell you what, it's not just for your boys, but for your little girls. When they witness the way that you treat their mother, there's the expectation. That's what I'm looking for in a husband. I guess that's the way I ought to be treated. And this is how it's going to be for me and in my home. It's so important that you speak to your wife kindly. That you show her affection. That you are leading them in calling her blessed when she has done well. Affection is shown in words like, you know, I love you, Mom. And the hugs and the gifts and the compliments and the service. Because we love her. Do we give our mothers the affection they deserve? Have we been taking them for granted? Well, this is not something we just think about on Mother's Day, okay? But these are gifts we give every day and through the years to our mothers. A fourth gift that I find in God's Word that we can be giving our mothers. Again, as we build this bouquet, these things are sweet in and of themselves, but when you put them together, how precious it is. You can give your mother joy and the gift of joy. And maybe if we've been thinking about those gifts that are really immediate and important for the young ones and you're in school and you're living under the roof, here's a gift that you give maybe a little bit later on. When you're getting a little bit older, when you're getting out on your own, and that relationship's changing a little bit between you and mom and dad, but you still need to be giving your mother these wonderful gifts and giving them joy. In Proverbs 23, verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Let your mother have joy in you, in her children. It's a scary thing, and so you need courage, but it can be a scary thing to raise children in this day and age. And many of you are doing it, and I'm right along there with you, shoulder to shoulder. Elizabeth Stone wrote this, quote, making the decision to have a child is momentous. It is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. Well, now that's exposed. That's exposed. And Solomon shows us that the way children live has the ability to bring tremendous joy to mother and father, to cause them to rejoice, to know their children, and at the same time to bring them grief. And one of the ways that we bring the joy is by walking in wisdom. In Proverbs 17, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to who? To her who bore him. In other words, you have the potential to bring some grief to your mother when you are unwise, when you are foolish. Again, I think about Jesus as our perfect example. And he was obedient to his parents as he's growing up. What else does the Bible tell us? Well, in Luke 2, verse 52, that he was increasing in wisdom. He was interested in wisdom and walking in wisdom. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Mothers worry enough for the children. We don't need to be giving them any unnecessary grief. And I'll tell you why, that the source of all wisdom is, of course, God and His Word. But He has placed mothers in our lives to bring us much wisdom. We'd be a lot wiser sometimes if we would just listen to some of the advice that Mother gave. I'm getting all kinds of amens today. I love this church. So let me tell you about some things I never heard my mother say, because my mother was interested in giving me wisdom and giving me sound advice. And so I never heard my mother say, how on earth can you see the TV when you're sitting so far away from it? I never heard her say that. I never heard my mother say, yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. I never heard my mother say, please leave all the lights on because it makes the house more cheery. I never heard my mother say, let me smell that shirt. Oh yeah, that's good for another week. In my home, my mother never said, curfew's a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. She didn't do that. My mother never said, I don't have a tissue, so just use your sleeve. Never got any of that. Why? Because my mother was interested in giving me sound advice and wisdom, training me up to take care of myself. And wisdom, when we choose to walk in wisdom, we're a little bit older, we're making our own choices, we want to be obedient to the Word of God, walking with the sense our mothers gave us, we give them a gift of joy. But notice with me in this proverb that it's not just about wisdom, it's also practicing righteousness. Walking in wisdom and practicing righteousness. As we go back to Proverbs 23, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice, practicing righteousness. I want to tell you this morning, many of you are here and you're blessed with godly mothers. Maybe you're here because of your mother. Like if you were really going to boil it down, why am I here? Why am I here right this moment? Mom. Could be. I'll tell you that there's nothing more important, no other achievement that your parents care about more than your character. And your mother cares about who you are, a lot more than what you have. And I've had some sisters in the congregation come and talk to me about their kids and choices that they're making now, and there's never been a complaint. They never said, oh, Brother Andrew, will you pray for me, for my family, because I'm just so disappointed in the house he has. Would you please pray for me? Would you please pray for my family? Because I'm just so disappointed that car is kind of shabby. What do they want to pray for? I'm afraid they've left the church. They're going through real rocky times in their faith. Or that call you get when so-and-so's gotten in trouble with the law. And we've not been walking in wisdom. We've not been walking in righteousness. And there's a lot of concern and a lot of grief on the part of the parents. They care a lot more about the righteousness. Nothing makes mother prouder than to have that good, that righteous son or daughter. And I want to say that righteousness is something that the Bible is very interested in. The true righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. In fact, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, and I think these scriptures dovetail nicely with what Brother Andrew read at the table. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Parents understand, and all people understand, and you've discovered that we're not perfect. As we heard at the table, we have a choice, and we've chosen to sin against God, and that messes up righteousness. That the wages of sin is death, and we find ourselves in a place of condemnation before a holy God. Quite a hopeless situation, unless God is greater than our sin, that His love and grace makes a way that we can be forgiven of our sin and be made righteous in His sight again. And that in a nutshell is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This he has done through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we are obedient to the gospel of Christ, we are baptized for the remission of our sins, and we are baptized into Christ. That's making things right between us and God. We are children of God. But along with that is the commitment that we're going to live according to the way of God and the word of God. We are going to pursue the righteousness of God. When we are living according to the word of God, folks, it's going to bring joy to our parents. And for those who have been teaching us and praying for us and leading us in that way. What a wonderful, wonderful gift to give mother joy by a life of wisdom and righteousness. Can we give our mothers the joy that they're deserving? I want to give you a fifth one then. And we might think about this gift as one that, well, okay, when mother gets a little older and you're grown, it's so important that we give her this gift. And it's the gift of care. It's the gift of care. This wonderful five gifts, this bouquet of flowers is completed for us this morning in this study as we turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And while you're turning to 1 Timothy 5, you might consider this quote from the very popular author, unknown. But he wrote this: mothers hold their children's hand for a short while, but their hearts forever. And indeed, they have our hearts. And God tells us how to work with that care and concern for them. Why do they have our heart? Well, maybe it's because of all the care that they gave us. And who stayed up with you all night and nursing you and changing your diapers and rocking you when you're a small child? And who was it that patched your scraped knees and kissed away the bumps and the bruises and the boo-boos? And who was there to help you with your homework or volunteering to do something at school or baking cookies or cupcakes for a class party or to celebrate your birthday? Who was your number one cheerleader out at the ball field? Who was it that told you, I believe in you and you can do this? And when that day came that you and your spouse had a child of your own, who was it that you looked to and thought, now, how would they do this? How would they handle this? That's your mother. That's your mother. And in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4, we get some instruction about how we care for her when roles are reversed and it's our turn. In God's eyes, it's our turn. What do you have going on in 1 Timothy 5? Well, you have a church at Ephesus with some elderly sisters. And some of them are needing care and provision even from the church. But I want you to notice that before the church gets involved with needy widow saints, where's the family? 1 Timothy 5 verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Or verse number 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Or verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. According to God's word, and this worked for centuries, before there was Social Security, the parents are Social Security. The children are the Social Security. This is part of life. They get older, the children grow up, and the children take care of parents. Families are to repay parents, minister to parents. Again, Jesus setting the example for us, even upon the cross, he looked to the care for his earthly mother, Mary. In John 19 and verse 26, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus saw to the care of his mother. And mother deserves the best that we can do for them. The best that we can provide. And that looks different in different families and situations. Health needs change over the years. What children can do, it might change and there can be some limitations, but it is always the best that we can provide. Sometimes elderly parents move in with their kids. Sometimes children have to meet financial obligations because their parents outlive their money. That happens more and more. Sometimes children have to have a tough talk with their parents. Mom, Dad, it's really time for you to stop driving. Mom, Dad, it's really time for you to make some other housing arrangements. You need to go somewhere where there's always going to be the proper attention and the proper care. And we're going to go through this process together. I'm going to be with you here because I love you. I'm going to give you the gift of care. Do I give our mothers the care they deserve? We have more and more what people call a sandwich generation. Maybe we got some sandwiches in here. I don't know. But the sandwich is that the kids haven't quite got out of the house yet. They haven't launched onto their own. But mom and dad have gotten older and they need the care. And so here we are in the middle, some of us, and we're trying to be parents. Well, it's really kind of both ways. We're trying to provide and raise for the little ones. But mom and dad are needing more and more from us. We need to be very sensitive to that. Our brothers and sisters are going through those things, to pray for them, be there and help them. To give this final gift that I'm mentioning, this gift of care, because they deserve the best we can provide. Five gifts for mother. If you were to read these things independently in the scriptures, each one is important. Each one is that beautiful flower. But when we put them together, this is something that we're giving today and through the days and even through the years. As you enjoy this wonderful relationship that God has blessed you with between you and your mother. And when we do this, we're obeying the Bible, we're pleasing God, we're acting like Jesus and following the example that He set before us, and we're bringing blessing to our families when we give these five gifts for mother. If you'd like to put away your interactive outline, put away your Bible at this time, that's fine. We're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. Brother Matt's going to come forward and lead us in that song. Obedience, respect, joy, care. We find it all in God's Word. But as we sing a song of encouragement now, it's time for you to think about your own relationship with the Lord. What we've been talking about a little bit is, okay, I want to take God's Word and I want to treat my mother accordingly. And that's a good thing. But it shouldn't be just one little part or one little relationship. We need to give all of our lives to the Lord because He's asking for it all. Because He died on the cross to redeem it all. And because the gospel is the invitation to bring it all to Him. To bring to Him our sins and our brokenness, that He might forgive it, that He might make us whole again. That He can take our lives, our relationships, He can bring healing to those things by the power of the gospel through the revelation of His word. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement now. And if there's a person who's ready to become a Christian, to put the Lord on in baptism, to have his sins washed away, to have the Lord call him righteous, we want to help you to do that. And perhaps it is that you're here, and that's not your particular spiritual need. But you're trying to raise kids, or you're having a hard time at home, and maybe we could pray for you to encourage you and your family and for healing to come there. If you have any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing.